This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown for February 3rd, 2005. Today, a response by former Passamaquoddy representative to the Maine legislature, Donna Suktoma, and tribal member Mary Bassett to the new public relations campaign for the LNG project at Pleasant Point. And we'll speak with union organizer Jimmy Cook on the first public hearing of the Citizen Trade Policy Commission in Bangor tonight. A number of editorials and letters to the editor have been published these last few days in the Bangor Daily News concerning the proposed siting of a liquefied natural gas terminal on Passamaquoddy tribal land at Pleasant Point, Sepayuk. The focus on this highly contentious issue is presently on the hiring of Dennis Bailey of public relations firm Savvy Incorporated, who spearheaded the Casino's No campaign in 2003 and also unsuccessfully attempted to bring an LNG project to Harpswell, Maine. Tribal member Vera Francis's op-ed in the Bangor Daily on January 24th criticized this new development and also discussed the absence of women's voices in the process. In this past weekend's paper, Bailey criticized Francis in a letter to the editor, and today two Passamaquoddy women wrote to support Bailey's position in tribal matters. There have also been letters against the LNG project as well. In the beginning of January, it was announced that the Portland-based public relations firm Savvy Incorporated had been retained by Quaddy Bay LLC and the tribal leadership at Sepayuk to, according to the press release, quote, conduct a public information initiative for the proposed LNG terminal, end quote, on tribal land. The press release published on the newly formed Quaddy LNG website goes on to quote Chief Melvin Francis as saying, after serious consideration, I have asked Quaddy Bay LLC to join me in retaining Savvy Incorporate to help us quickly deliver as much information as possible about this important project to the general public over the next few months. Savvy was selected based on their experience in the LNG industry, their reputation throughout Maine, their broad experience, and their quality of work. Dennis Bailey, the president and owner of Savvy Incorporate, also states in the release, the LNG project is a great economic development opportunity for the Passamaquoddy tribe, the region, and the state. We're very pleased to offer our help to bring this important project forward and hope that members of the public and the surrounding community will withhold judgment until they've heard all the facts. And lastly, Don Smith, CEO, president of Smith Cogeneration, and member of Quaddy Bay LLC, is quoted as saying, we look forward to providing the public with information necessary to make informed opinions and are confident that the general public will see this project as safe, environmentally conscious, and economically advantageous for the region. In the next, at the end of this month, Quaddy Bay and Sepayuk will be holding a number of public information sessions, and they have opened a website in which they will be offering much information on the matter. In today's program, we will hear from two long-term members of the Passamaquoddy tribe who oppose the LNG project, Donna Suktoma and Mary Bassett. Mary Bassett is 70 years old and was born in her parents' house at Sepayuk and has lived there all her life, except for 6 years when she was in school. She spoke of the irony of Dennis Bailey and Maine Council of Churches not supporting the casino projects, but yet supporting the LNG project. We hear from Mary.
On the one hand, they go against us so that people aren't able to get any money from gambling, but they're willing to build a facility that might mean our demise as a whole community. And I can't get my mind around that. It seems like the neighboring communities are very active. Canadians and Americans, you know, on both sides of the bay. But I think the people that are lacking information and having their voices heard are the people that are the most affected, the people that live here. It seems, you know, you can argue on several levels, but it seems like the very people that are the closest to it are the ones that you rarely hear from. I know that the vote was in favor of it, the non-binding vote, but at the time the vote was taken, it was right at the height of the blueberry season. There were a lot of people out in the fields. Mm-hmm. And the people in what they call the service area, which is about half of Washington County, they weren't notified off reservation. So, and sometimes the media touts it as that the tribe has supported it, and that's not true. It was a non-binding referendum, and not everyone was told about the vote. And the other thing is, we don't even get news about what's happening in tribal government. I mean, when LNG was first, when we first knew about it, a lot of people knew about it from the newspapers. So it's almost like, I don't know, it's a totalitarianism, I guess. You know, they make decisions on our behalf, and they're our representatives, but we are not apprised of what's happening.
Has this process been different than tribal process in the past now when you've had Kwadi Bay LLC coming in? Do you feel that usually there's more transparency? Have you felt that there's been a difference in the way the tribe has been proceeding?
Well, I remember when the land claims litigation was in process, one of the things that the leaders and the negotiators of the settlement would always say is, we can't give you information because it would ruin our case. But between ourselves, people would pretty much know what was going on. They did have informational meetings here at the tribal office with Tom Tureen then. It was a little better, but this time, I think the common denominator of all business enterprises is corporate America. And the reason that the governor, he had agreed to have a non-binding referendum in 30 days, and he had it in 2 weeks. And he took it on himself to do that individually without the consent of the people or the council. And the reason for that is that the investors, it's like the investors have to know, is this a good deal? Am I going to buy shares? Am I going to lose money? And it's like corporations have no alliance to any country. They only have alliance to money and profit and gain at any cost. And they don't care what happens to whatever they invest in, as long as they can get their return. And now we're in that machine. And the fodder for that machine is probably maybe our lives. And that's called genocide, when you endanger the last segment of people that have been here for thousands and thousands of years and endangering their very lives. And if it does blow up, it's like, you know, there'll be very, very few of us left. The fish has already been, the drag is, you know, the fish is being depleted. In Canada, they're asking the lobster fishermen to come up with a price tag for their lobster in business for 5 years to get them to agree to stop fishing lobster for 5 years because they're depleting the lobster, too, in the Maritimes. It's like the more they deplete the earth and get the resources out of it, the more people are eager to get whatever they can that is left without the knowledge that the more they dig, and the more they take and the more they plunder and just ruin the environment and the landscape, that they're shortening the life of the planet itself. And there has to be a moratorium, you know, to make sure that the earth keeps on rotating and helps people live. But they don't take that in consideration because no one can escape the consumerism and the greed and the piling up of goods and services. You know, people think it'll make them safe, it'll make them healthy. But the thing that lives the most and is the essence of life is the earth, and that's what they're endangering. Not only are they endangering this part of the earth now, they're endangering probably maybe the rise or the fall of Passamaquoddy people. And, you know, the spirituality that goes along with the earth, some people still hold on to that. You know, there are a lot of people that are really fighting, like, genetically modified food. Maine has the highest rate of asthma. We have mercury poisoning. We have mercury that's poisoned the St. Croix River, which is the third most polluted river in the county, in the country. We have Point Le Pro, 27 miles from us. We have the Kudla Air Station, radio station, that probably transmits electromagnetic waves And the community where we live has a high rate of cancer, and it has a high incidence of radon. So there's a lot of environmental damage already in this. And, of course, what they call down east is all of the industrial affluent comes up this way. That's why we have such a high rate of cancer. And LNG is going to help. They say that if they do, after they unliquefy the gas, they're going to put water into the bay. And they said the water will be very cold, and they say it's not going to damage it. But they don't know that no matter what you do to the earth, there's going to be a consequence for it. And sad to say, it's like a lot of Passamaquoddies are influenced by non-native people, sometimes family members who have different values as to what makes a good life for themselves and their children.
What is your opinion of Dennis Bailey being put in this position of spokesperson for this project, for the location of this LNG project at Passamaquoddy Point? He was someone who had been part of the Casinos No campaign. So one, him being a part of that campaign, and two, being someone who isn't of the Passamaquoddy Nation himself, being a spokesperson for this project.
You know, even just saying that, it seems so ludicrous. It's almost like, after the you get your head chopped off in the guillotine, and then you hire your executor to come and work for you at your house. I don't know if people could get their minds around that. But I guess the comment that was made by one council member, well, we're not hiring him. We're hiring him because he's good at his job.
And what is his job?
To change public opinion. But I would be more interested in what he denotes as public. And probably that the public does not mean the Passamaquoddy people themselves.
Previous Passamaquoddy representative Madonna Soktoma spoke with us briefly about her opposition to the proposed Quaddy Bay LLC LNG project and the hiring of Dennis Bailey and Savvy Incorporated to run the public relations campaign for Quaddy Bay LLC and the tribal government.
My name is Madonna Soktoma. I am a Passamaquoddy elder at Zibayuk in Perry, Maine. I have lived here, born and raised here. And I was a former tribal state legislator in the Maine House of Representatives in the 116th legislature. First of all, I'd like to say I don't even know how Quaddy Bay LLC and Savvy got this far to be holding public hearings. I believe that this whole process needs to be investigated by the government, review the process of how it got to this point, because there were a lot of irregularities. But since the state has a stake in it, there's nothing being done. Every time I read the paper or talk to somebody, there's something new. I mean, where is the process? Non-Native people believe in the process, but apparently not when it comes to Native Americans. Even though we are the most highly regulated people in the United States.
Now the tribal leadership will be speaking through this website, Quaddy LNG, and Chief Francis has put out statements through there. Is this what you've been told? Is this how the tribal leadership will be communicating with you now from now on this particular project?
This is a very unnatural process for tribal people. Tribal people in our one of our guaranteed sovereignties is the way we conduct internal tribal matters. And apparently internal tribal matters is seen as different things. We've never had occasion to communicate through a website regarding internal tribal matters. And I don't I believe it's very disrespectful to the tribal people, and I think most of them are unaware. And to do it through a website, I mean, is the tribe or co-generation going to furnish every household that has a Passamaquoddy in it a computer? That is limited communication, if you ask me. We used to talk to one another and hold general meetings.
Can you comment on the choice of Dennis Bailey as representing the tribe's interests and him saying that it was not about the tribes before when he was the leader of the casino, no efforts?
I was aware of Dennis Bailey somewhat in my during my term as tribal state representative in Augusta, and again made aware of him that he was leading the crusade for casino no and convinced the United Churches of Maine to vote against the casino because he stated in the Bangor Daily that recently that he believed it was a Las Vegas type casino. The Indian casino was a resort casino with a with hotel accommodations and planned family activities and entertainment. So right from the beginning, when he orchestrated Casino No, he did not know. He did not know what casino we were pushing. Try to make people believe it was the Las Vegas type because he was employed at that time to do. To help, not to pass the casino. But that's what it was, and he didn't bother to find out.
And what do you think about his selection now as representing the tribe's interests?
Well, it's very disrespectful to the people, Passamaquoddy people. When I read that in the paper, it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable that we're even talking about a liquefied natural gas project here at Sibayik, which is a residential section and not an industrial site. And it is totally unbelievable that someone who worked as hard as he did for Casino No with all his misinformation now to be employed by Quaddy Bay LLC to do PR work.
Any other issues that you wanted to bring up concerning this project?
The one-time governors, where one internalizes inferiority and the other internalizes superiority, can only work toward our tribal's extermination. Profits that are generated from the proposed LNG was a promised annual $1,000 disbursement to tribal members, and when calculated, would not even buy a gallon of milk a day. Maybe we should be hired for a PR firm. We at least understand our financial rights. People who have no real ties here on the reservation have no true understanding of the true cost of LNG to the Passamaquoddy people living here. The real truth of culture lies beneath the surface, which requires a lived experience to understand the depth of our cultural reality. Our culture always considers not just individual rights, but collective rights, which also addresses the money issue. Corporate America accumulation of goods determines one value. And individualism operates from assumptions that growth is good, development is good, but bigger is always better, each of which erode tribal sovereignty and undermines cultural life ways. So there's a challenge here to the people of the state of Maine in in what they hold dear.
Excuse me, the website for set up by Savvy Incorporate for Quaddy Bay LLC and the LNG project is quaddylng.com, and the website for opponents to the project is savepassamaquoddybay.org. Tonight is the first public hearing to be held by the Citizen Trade Policy Commission in Bangor tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. at Husson College. The charge of the commission is to look at how free trade policies impact the state and to translate these recommendations to the Maine state legislature, the Maine congressional delegates, and to the U.S. trade representatives. We have with us today here Jimmy Cook, political coordinator and field representative for Teamsters Local 340 and a member of the Maine Fair Trade Campaign. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you very much, Meredith. How are you?
Good. So why don't we, in the few minutes we have, we can touch on a few of the many issues which are brought up by trade agreements in Maine and globally, but why don't we start from a little bit from the labor perspective?
Well, from the labor perspective, I'll go in this direction. In early November in El Salvador, we had a Teamster organizer who was trying to organize a trucking company called Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K, and he was gunned down in his mother's out front of his mother's house by a couple of gentlemen, and two were standing, one was on the bike, and they fled. There is an investigation going on right now, but my point is that this kind of takes us back to where we were 100 years ago when people were trying to organize in this country. And people were being gunned down and, you know, their family's house were being burned down and all this stuff to try to basically get the rights for working people who were making the money for the companies. And now it's happening in El Salvador. It's happening all over the world because the corporations are just taking over and we don't have a voice anymore. So, you know, I owe everything to the Teamsters. I owe everything I have to the Teamsters and the union movement. Jim Carson, my president, President Hoffa, these guys have given me the tools to come out here and speak on these issues. And I'm very grateful for that. And that's I'm really worried. I'm really worried.
Great concern about how the trade agreements will impact what this country and other countries how they're able to make their own labor laws and how they're able to actually have them passed and to enforce them. Do you also want to talk about economic disparity and the issue of corporate power, which...
This treaty, CAFTA, it's going to make the companies just grow and grow at the expense of us, an expense of these little countries in Central America. I mean, the GDP, gross domestic product for the U.S., is $11 trillion. And when you're going to be dealing with a country like Nicaragua that has $11.5 billion, tell us, you know, if you have a right to sue this country, you know, a corporation go in there and just destroy it, or what are they going to do, own it? Are they going to pass it like a bill of sale? Hey, I own you now. Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. That's a little outrageous, but...
And you had an example of when something was considered a non-tariff barrier to trade with Harkin Oil?
Here's one. $57 billion. That's the payment that Harkin Oil is demanding from the government of Costa Rica because Costa Rica government said no drilling off our coast. Now, we all – Harkin Oil, I don't know if you know who was involved in Harkin Oil years ago. I think it was the Bush administration, number 43, who gave such an eloquently disastrous State of the Union speech last night. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't be going on like that, but that's just me.
But anyways, just briefly also about the privatizing of Social Security, that has an interesting plays out interestingly in the area of trade.
Well, here's the thing on that is that under the General Agreement of Trade Services, GATS, under the provisions there, total government service is not touched, such as Social Security, and the way this country works is that we may apply a program and then a few years later you want to tweak it to make it better because that's what democracy is all about. Well, if they privatize Social Security, and if you touch any part of this program opening up to make – to apply a new angle or a new provision in this, that means it won't be grandfathered. It won't be protected. So if we do this to Social Security, it's going to be wide open. I mean, I don't know what can happen. You know, the procurement is open for anybody. And what are they going to do, take all that money? I don't know. I have no idea.
There's a lot of questions about – can you just briefly say where you feel CAFTA is at this point? It's going to be coming up for a vote.
CAFTA right now is not coming to the floor. And because if it comes to the floor right now, the president doesn't have the votes. And in the next 18 months, this administration is banking its entire economic policy on CAFTA. Simply, I'll give you an example. They have USTR Zolik, who headed up all the policy for the FTAA, he's now Assistant Secretary of State. And one of the angles that they're going about this now, they're saying that the rumblings on the Hill in Washington, I just came back from there a couple weeks ago, that, you know, they're going to make it an anti-race. They're going to have a racist movement going, oh, you're against these people down there because you're not helping them. Well, you tell me, has labor... I mean, has labor, organized labor, ever been against? We don't care about color. We don't care about this stuff. We are helping them. So don't – when Gutierrez comes out and the new – one of the secretaries comes out of commerce and starts talking about you're racist. We're not racist. We're actually trying to help these people.
In fact, a lot of the anti-trade movements are definitely global movements, and that's – that has been obvious by the work being done. Okay, so tonight there is this public hearing, and it's in Bangor at Husson College. It's everyone's invited to attend. Is that correct?
Everyone, and it's going to be packed. There's going to be a lot of people. This is very exciting. I mean, a lot of, you know, the nation's watching this thing, believe it or not. That, you know, we have some teeth in this bill right here, so we can educate people. And here you go, people. Now come out and listen to it.
Maine's quite a pioneer in this right now. Again, Bangor, Husson College, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight, the Citizen Trade Policy Commission will hold its first public hearing. Thank you very much, Jimmy Cook,
Thank
for
you,
joining
Meredith.
Us.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Joel Mann engineered today's program. Andy Buckley does web and technical support. You can go to our website, radioactivenews.org, for archived programs. You can contact us here at the station at 469-6600. Thank you for listening and acting.